Let us continue day three of our discussing the laws and the minhagim of getting an aliyah, or all matters relating to Kriyas HaTorah. Our segue to this topic came from the fact that this Shabbos is the Aseres HaDibrois, and the reason why we lay a minimum of 10 psukim every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos mincha is because there are 10 dibros. Chazal say there are 10 dibros, therefore there must be at least 10 psukim. We're up to the topic of psicha. Who gets psicha in the Beis HaKnesses? So there is a minhag that you give psicha. First, the Chazal say, this is a very mystical thing, that when you open up the Aron HaKodesh, it's in the same way in this world, you're opening up a Pesach, in Shemayim, you're opening up openings that your tzilos can enter. It's a very mystical thing, not to make light out of it. Ad kedei kach, someone, I was talking to someone in learning, very big Talmud Chacham, and he told me that what happens if you don't have a Sefer Torah? Let's say you have an Aron, you're in a shul, and there are no Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah are locked up in the safe. Like, there are many shuls like that.
We almost had it this morning. Wow.
No Sefer, they're locked
up
in
the combination?
This morning, the Aron was locked. And Larry happened to have a key. The first Indian had to go to the Sefer Torah from the hospital.
Who's in the hospital?
I noticed that. David Hurst.
You okay?
What's the matter with
him?
I don't know.
Okay, so what the shail over here is, do you do psicha, let's say like Avinu Malkeinu, okay? You're not going to lane, obviously, but let's say Avinu Malkeinu, okay? And there's no Sefer Torah. Do you do psicha when there's no Sefer Torah? It's a tzom, and you're not going to lane because there's no Sefer Torah, or you already lane, they took the Sefer Torah to another minion. So you delayed this. The Sefer Torah was taken somewhere else.
Avinu Malkeinu,
or any. Let's say it's Yom Kippur, and you don't have. All the time you do just the psicha, and there's no Sefer Torah because another shul, the other minion downstairs, they took all the Sefer Torah, and they took it away. Do you bother doing psicha? So l'chora you do. It's a very interesting idea. You have an empty Aron Kodesh, and there's no Sefer Torah inside. You still do psicha because the ma'isa psicha itself is a ma'isa which you're opening up the gates to heaven. It's very interesting. I think it's a very simple riot to this. By Sheni, for 420 years, they did the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's no Aron. They still went in. They went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they sprinkled the blood. They brought the Ketores. So you'll tell me the Mokam. So the Aron, the Mokam is also Kodesh. A Mokam that's Miyuchad for a Sefer Torah is also Kodesh. It's not the Mokam Mamish, but it's a Mokam. And besides, the fact of just opening up the Pareches is an inyan of opening up the gates of Shemayim. There is definitely something to it. It's not something to light up, and it's very kedai to buy. If you're in a shul where they sell psicha, it's a very chashva kibbut. When is the most chashva time to get psicha? Everyone was talking about this last year. Last year it was Shabbos HaParish. I think Parish Shabbos HaChodesh. This is brought. I don't know where it's brought down. Is that whenever you lane from three Sifrei Torah. Whenever you lane from three Sifrei Torah, that psicha is gold. That's like better than getting psicha for Me'ilah, getting psicha for Geshem and Tal. When you're laning from three Sifrei Torah, like Shabbos HaChodesh, when it's Rosh Chodesh. Whenever you can have a such a situation, Rosh Chanukah, and then that is a very chashuva time. And you should, I remember last year someone came over to me, he must think that I'm a person who needs a lot of help. a very chashuva person that came all the way from the very front of the basement, I sat towards the back, came over to me right before psicha. I didn't get psicha, and he said to me, you know what it says, that this is a very big Eis Ratzon. When you do psicha on a Shabbos, when there are three Sifrei Torah, it's a very big Eis Ratzon, and you should be mechaven, you should be mispalel. When they do psicha, Hashem can be pipoil Yeshuas. I knew this, I was paying attention, but I found it very interesting that he came over to me to wake me up, to take advantage of the moment. Okay, now who do we have a minute to give psicha to? Special circumstances, women who are in husbands, not the women, husbands of wives who are in their ninth month, who are ready to have lady. Now here's the shaila. How many times do you give the husband psicha when his wife is in the end of her ninth month? every single time, once already. Okay, the due date has arrived.
Until the baby's born.
So we're going to, what? Until the baby's born. So we're going to give you every psicha. You get every psicha until the baby is born. That can take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, who knows? It can take time, right? Is that correct? Or maybe no. There's no, that's a mishagas. That's an obsession. You get once. The woman, the wife, she's at the end of her term. Okay, the due date has arrived. We'll give you a psicha once. Anything more than once is already obsessive. This shayla was asked of Chaim Knievsky, the man who knows it all. The man who has an answer. And you know what he said? I don't know the answer. It's a very tough question. If there is an inyan of getting psicha more than once when your wife is in labor past the due date, maybe the whole inyan is just to get it once. Not more. Anything more than once is already excessive. Next fascinating thing, that's why the Sefer is Kedai. I don't know these people, but the person I showed this to, he knew these people. He writes here, Sibuli Harav Yehoinason Salim. Sh'omaloi Hagoin Rav Yaakov Hillel. Okay, he's a very big Talmud Chacham to Shola. I think I know who that is. Mm-hmm. Rav Yaakov Hillel. Sh'zel loy rak lifnei haleida el gam lifnei nituach yesh la sois pitzichas ha'aroin. He writes that if a person, Rahman Mutzlan, is having surgery. So surgery is scheduled for Thursday or so on Monday, the person should get psicha. It's lav dafka, a woman in labor. Any time when a doctor has to cut you open, Rahman Mutzlan, to be opened up, psicha, the psicha should go. There's an inyan of having psicha for surgery. That is something I never heard before.
You mentioned there was a minute that it didn't have to be on Monday, Thursday. Anytime someone who had a tzara,
you go to the Aroin.
Women
you open
the
Aroin. I mean, mispalo. You be mispalo in a chanam. You always can do that. You always can open the Aroin. Be mispalo. Absolutely. Okay. Next thing, Brich Shmei. Brich Shmei is a tefillah that comes from the Zohar. It's a Zohar. No, no, no. Which parish? I think which parish is it? Parish Kisisa. I think it's a Zohar. It is a very holy tefillah. We are. No, I'm sorry. Let that one thing. I'm sorry. Let's go to that thing. When you open the Aroin, do you open it from the right to the left or from the left to the right? How should the parochas be arranged on Aron HaKodesh? So he brings in over here the proper thing to do again, the parochas from the small.
Yeah, from
left.
Okay,
from the right. Okay, the proper thing is to go from the right. Why? Why is that so? I'm not exactly sure, but that's what it says. You should go from the right to the left.
Which hand?
I assume the right hand. Every time you do something nice, you use the right hand. The Aroin should be opened from the right to the left. Noyagim liftoach haparoches miyamin l'smol kider isi shagach noyag kigrez Rav Yashiv. That's the way it should be done. Okay, next. Now, I'll just tell you something which is not over here in the Sefer. What?
Yeah,
here you go from the left to the right?
Yeah.
From the left to the right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Depends how the string is.
No, so you, can, you should set it up. Pastor, should we set up? I don't know. That's what he writes. He writes over here, Noihagim Liftoyach. It's Minog. I don't know the answer.
Right. That's left.
I don't know why it's like that. Okay, next, let me just tell you something which. Let me.
Who's left?
That right. No, the right of the.
No, you're facing frontwards. You're facing frontwards. You're facing the paroiches. Facing frontwards. Right to the left. That's what it says here.
From the right to the left.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. I doubt in the Chaim Vilim, the main base medrash, it's the right to the left. Okay, it's the right to the left. Let me think real else I doubt in Torah Vidas, it's the right to the left.
Right to the left.
Okay, where else do I doubt in the Young Israel? My father's shul in the old Young Israel, it was from the right to the left. It was actually locked on the left side. You couldn't go only one way. In the new Young Israel, it was always the right to the left. I'm trying to think of a different place where I daven.
Here it's right to the left.
Right to the left.
I mean, where else do I daven? You think about where I daven? Frankel's? I don't know. What are they doing in Frankel's? I don't even pay attention. I don't know. All right, whatever it is, I'm sure you have all the makaras. But let me ask another thing. This son, I have a friend. I don't know. He has an obsession about this. I don't know. I don't know why he's so obsessed with this. He likes to send. No, the following. I'm going to tell you what it is. He sends letters of Chaim Knievsky, and he answers him. You know that I have a gabbai. Chaim has a stack of letters like this every single day. I heard that he doesn't do it. It's not, they don't do it. He doesn't do it as often now as he used to. But back in the day, the people would sit with him very quickly. They would ask him. They would read the letters, and he would give one word answers. And the gabbai, the gabbaim, that would be in charge of writing the answers and sending back the letters. So my friend, he has his obsession with this thing that he claims it's a minhag Yisrael to have not just in the olden days to have a piece of material on top of the parochas.
Yes, yes.
In other words, today we live in a modern world, and the parochas are very very exquisite. They're very fancy. They're very high tech. All new technology has been used to use. But if you remember back in the olden days, when you had a parochas, the way it worked was there was a parochas, and on the side of the parochas there was material. Typically there was a material. I'm not sure there was always on the side here, maybe not. But there was always this piece of material on top that would seemingly hide
the mechanism,
the strings, the hooks.
It
was hide at night. It was hide at night. No,
it doesn't have
it over here.
Not here.
It does not.
You mean another cup?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Think back to the older days.
Yes.
Think back to the olden days when every parochas was the same. Every parochas had the luchais with two lines.
Yes.
So today, no one's going to put lines anymore. We live in a new generation. No one, the luchais. What are the luchais? What are those things? No one even knows what the luchais are, what the luchais says. No more luchais, no more lions. Everyone has parochas, has nice, fancy words. Whatever you write in all designs. But it used to be, in addition, there was always a piece of material on top with things coming down. I assume that to cover the mechanism. In the last number of years, since we got much more sophisticated, and there's new technology that has been employed to hang the parochas, and the new artwork and very expensive designs.
And it gets pulled by a string rather than you pushing it.
You name it, all the high-tech things that have been invented, this piece of material on top has disappeared from 99.9% of the shuls in the world. Gone. In Chaim Berlin, they used to have, when they first made the building, they had a beautiful parochas, and there was a piece of material, sorry, this is why the Shaila came up, piece of material on the side, on top, and on both the left side, the right side on top, and the parochas was in the middle. And then you pull the strings, and the parochas would move to the side. But it was always surrounded, the parochas was surrounded by material all sides. Then they got a new parochas. And they ordered, another of my friends, he was in charge of getting it, and he decided, this friend of mine, that what do we need this thing on the top for? They changed the whole mechanism, always got caught, got stuck, and this and that was no good. For years it was no good. So we're just going to have material on the left, material on the right, and the parochas, and there's going to be nothing on top. Nothing on top. So this other friend that I had said, you know how to do that. He says he remembers hearing or learning that there's a Mesoira. There's a Mesoira, I don't know what he's talking about, a Mesoira, that there has to be a piece of material on top. It's like the mezuzos and the mashkif. The parochas is mesamel, the kodesh hakodashim. I don't know what it's mesam. Don't ask me. I never heard of these things. He's claiming he was really obsessed with this. Is that there's a left, a right, and there's a mesoira. There has to be material on top that shelters the top of the parochas, which serves as the mashkif. Just like in Mitzrayim, you put the Dam Pesach on the Shtei HaMezuzois, on the two side posts, the Al HaMashkoif, you have to have a Mashkoif surrounding the Parochas. So he told this to everyone, and they all said to him, we don't know what in the world you're talking about. We never heard such a thing. We don't know what you're talking about. The fact that the old Parochas had this material, it was just a practical matter because to cover the mechanism, but there's no makar for this. So he sent a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Is there such a thing as having the material on top? And he got back a letter. And the answer was,
yes.
Loi Shamati. Loi Shamati.
Two words.
I never heard of such a thing.
One word.
I never heard of such a thing. Okay, I can tell Chaim Berlin now no more. They got rid of it. Okay, Chaim Berlin in the main base manager doesn't mean anything because no one's asking questions here anyway. They got rid of it. There's just a parochas. And there's nothing on the top. There's nothing on the top over here. And Kemat, in all the shuls today, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. But if you find the shul that does have something on top, you should know. Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe there's something to it. Maybe there is some makar to this. Okay, next topic. Brich Shmei. When you take out the Sefer Torah, you're supposed to say this beautiful tefillah called Brich Shmei. It comes from the Zohar. All the Gedolei Yisrael, for some reason, there are people that don't want to say it. I don't know why they don't want to say it, because it says the v'la v'lo al bar Elohim somichna, which means we do not rely upon angels, we rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some people say it alludes to Yashka, v'lo al bar Elohim somichna. I'm not relying on the Son of God. I'm not going to rely upon Yashka to save me. I'm going to rely on, so therefore, oh, we mentioned Yashka. So therefore, it's Tame. You can't really say anymore Baruch Shmei. It's very, extremely weak. It's pathetic to say such a thing. But people are saying this, in my opinion. And therefore, people are running away from saying. They're not saying Baruch Shmei. It beats me while they're...
I've heard that Yekis do not say any
Kabbalah.
Aramaic...
They don't like to say Kabbalah. They don't like Zoyar. You're afraid of Zoyar. Zoyar, it's not for us. We're not going to read the words of Zoyar. Okay, there are many excuses. Just like people don't want to say Tachnun. Tachnun is supposed to be in Chazal, is the most powerful tefillah of them all. Tachnun and Tachnun lies the Kayach of Chaim v'Hamavis. The Gemara talks about the Amor, he lied down. Someone died. Talking about the koyach of expressing yourself, tzar li ma'oid, the koyach of being mavakish for refuah, refu eni Hashem ki nifhalo atzomai, and the other extreme. For some reason, no one wants to say tachan anymore. Tachan today is a goises. Every excuse not to say tachan, you don't say tachan when it's mamish. It's the shlemus of tefila. Baruch Shmei, yeah.
I remember. I think the Israeli government had an official sitter called Rinat Yisrael,
yes.
In the Rinat Yisrael Siddur, there was Baruch Shmei, and underneath it was a Hebrew translation of Baruch Shmei.
Very good. And they ad kadei kach, how far they went. Baruch Shmei is a tefillah where you're mispalel for siyata deshmaya in the study of Torah and having children that should be talmidei chachamim. The most beautiful thing, who would not want to be mispalel. The Sehavlon Benon
of the Rusa.
Benon the Avnik, you must spell Benon Dichwin. You must spell Benon Dichwin to have children that should be this learned Torah. I don't know why, for some reason, many people don't say it. They don't want to say it. They're not interested in saying it, whatever the reason is. But you should say it, and it's a very big school to say it, and it's a very big, if you especially know the translation of the words and the deeper meaning of the words, it's a very great thing to say. Question, when exactly do you say Baruch Shmei? So there's a stira between the Rambam and the Torah. There's a stira between the English art school sitter and the Hebrew art school sitter. In the English art school sitter, in the instructions, the original English art school sitter in the instructions, it says, you first say Baruch Shmei, and then you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh. Vayehi bin soya ha'aroin. Right, you open up the Sefer, open up the Aron, and then you say, Be'anorochitz, right? And after you finish singing Baruch Shmei, then they take out the Sefer Torah, and you say Shema Yisrael. That's the instructions given to you in the English, original English art scroll Siddur. And that indeed is the minig in many kehilos, across America, and that's the minig of many places, especially the shuls who sing Vayehi bin Soya and Baruch Shmei, and there's an entire process to take out the Sefer Torah. Nothing is taken out until Baruch Shmei is said. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe, and not only him, many others, all of the earlier sources indicate it's Beferish Neshari Ephraim, and I don't know the source that they're quoting, he has other sources that's not the correct thing to do. The correct thing to do is to take the Sefer Torah outside of the Aron HaKodesh, to hold it, and while it's being held by the Shatz, or by the one who takes out the Sefer Torah, the Tzibur should then begin to say Baruch Shmei. And that's what Rav Moshe writes very strongly, that's the correct thing to do, not like what's done in America, in all of the Kehilos and throughout America who sing it. First take it out while you're holding it, say Baruch Shmei. And indeed, in the art school Hebrew only Siddur, they corrected, they were made aware that what they wrote in the instructions is against the Psak of Rav Moshe, against the Psak of the Shari Ephraim, and many other Paiskim, which indicates that there's some proper Zmanis when you take it out. They corrected, so you have a chance. You go look in the Hebrew only art school Siddur, you first take the Sefer Torah out. When the one who gets psichas holding you begin to say Baruch Shmei, then you finish Baruch Shmei, and then you give it to the Shas. The only place I saw this done, really slowly and correctly, is in Mirror Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. A couple of years ago, a long time ago already, I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I daven shachris every day in Mirror Yeshiva, Shiva Smir, shachris, the longest davening my whole life ever saw. They daven shachris there. Shachris on a Tuesday takes an hour. On Rosh Chodesh Elul, it took literally 2 hours, shachris. I don't have the time to learn. I took shachris and Rosh Chodesh Elul was 2 hours, and no singing, no melodies, nothing. And when it came to take out the Sefer Torah, they did like psicha. The born of the Gabs took out the Sefer Torah, he held it, facing the Oroin, and then they began to say Bruch Shmei. It was very clear what they
facing
were doing.
Facing the Oroin,
that's what he took it out, he held it, and then they started Bruch Shmei, slowly, the way it should be said, and then the shots finished off the end of Bruch Shmei, and then he gave it to the shots, and they proceeded. That's the proper way. Just because that's the proper way, that's not the Minhag HaOlam. Today in most shuls, as far as I can tell, they don't even say Bruch Shmei. People are mumbling, will the Shliach Tzibur conclude the words V'sashlem Shalom V'libov V'libuchon Moshe Talachayim V'lishlom Amen? Maybe, yeah, maybe not. Everything is happening way too fast. You don't know what's going on. No one even knows what they're doing. In a shul where they sing, like in the good, you know, the young Israels and the classic, the traditional shuls, they're not doing it like this. There, they're going to sing Bruch Shmei, they're going to be reciting Bruch Shmei, and then first take out the Sefer Torah. But you should be aware that it would appear from the majority of the Poskim that's not the correct way to do it. The correct way to do it is first take out the Sefer Torah.
At what point is the handoff?
After you finish. After
you
what?
Take it out, sing. If you say Bruch
you take
Shmei.
It out.
The handoff I'm talking about.
After the shatz concludes the word, the shatz is leading the tzibur. The shatz concludes the word. V'sashlim meshalin dilibohi v'liba d'chol amoch Yisrael l'tav u'lechayin v'lishlom amen. Then, the one who is holding it gives the Sefer Torah to the shliach tzibur.
That usually doesn't
happen. Right, never happens. Never happens. In Mir Yeshiva it happens, but America never. Not in any shul, and the young Israels, they will first sing the Sashlim Mishalim, and after they finish, they will then take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron and give it to the Shliach Tzibur. That's how it's always done. That's how they do in young Israel. I was in Boston, they were also there. That's the whole country does it like that. But and then that's what it says you should do in the English Art School Siddur, but it's exactly what it says in the Hebrew Art School Siddur not to do. Look at the instructions, you'll see what I'm telling you is correct. Now, okay, next topic. Now, by the way, it's a dover choshev admo to say this tefillah. No difference. No difference whatsoever. No difference whatsoever. Now, he writes over something very fascinating, that people are not nizar, you know, say everyone is into the brisk chumras. Everyone, you know, brisk, long payas, and shmah, echod. Everyone likes to be a brisker today. Today is a mishigah, a chumras, to be a brisker. But brich shmei, no. That's not for me. So he writes over here something very fascinating that I don't know who this person is. Harav Eliezer Schlesinger, maybe of Aaron Gimel Reish Aleph. I don't know what the Aleph stands for. Schlesinger. Hoyo Loi Harbe Bonin. No, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead 1 second. I'm sorry. Here it is. Hoyo Margulo Bipume Demaran Hagoyin Rev Michal Lefkowitz. Is that his name? Is that his name? Mem Yud. What's Mem Yud? Mem Yud. Lefkowitz, one of the big Rashi's in Eretz Yisrael, to who zochel liros es ha'amira amiras brich shmei shel maran horav mi brisk. He was a young man when the brisker Rav was still living, and he observed the brisker Rav read davin brich shmei. The adayin is Rav Lefkowitz. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, everyone's going to get a brach from this person. The adayin loy mosh mizichroina. He writes. He says, I cannot get out of my mind the memory. Be'ezah hisrakshus hoye oimer ezeh. How he said brich shmei with the kavana, the feeling, the hargish, the kol rom loud, bechito chatevois, enunciating every word, umitoch hislavus gedola with a lot of emotion. So, Eidus Ne'emana, the Briskerov, by Rav Lefkowitz, telling you he said it. And not only did he say it, he said every single word. He didn't mumble it through. And he said it with heritage, with feeling. So if you want to go in the ways of the Briskerov, maybe more better than learning the Rambam, you should first start with the basics. Start with the basics and to learn to learn how to say Brich Shmei the way it should be said. Okay, he brings here a funny story from this Rav Schlesinger, where he had this person, he writes, he asked the Brisker Rav, I have a lot of, I don't know by heart, but you misspelled there for Benon Duchrin. for male children. So this fellow had a lot of sons. He had probably 12 sons and he had no daughters. And now he's up to number 13. So he asked the Briska Rav, can I change the nusach to say, V'sihavlon binon nukvin? I want to have a girl. I would like to be well-rounded, have a girl also. I want Aiden, good Aiden, I want a girl also. So he told him, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to be Mashan. Just because you want to have a girl doesn't mean you're allowed to change the nusach from binon duchrin to binon nukvin. Now, we conclude, it's our minute to conclude with the word amen. He brings down here that some say it's not proper to say amen at the end. You don't say amen at the end because you don't answer amen to your own brachas. Okay. I think some people don't say that line. Maybe some don't want to say that line because it alludes to Yashka. So if you don't want, that's not an excuse to say, not say the whole thing. So just those who don't want to say, just can omit that part. Okay, running out of a few more short things. Next, you take out the Sefer Torah, you hand this Sefer Torah over to the Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur, what does he do next? What does the Shliach Tzibur do? He says, Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And everyone answers, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then what does he do next? Gadlu, no, that's on Shabbos. That's on Shabbos. Okay, on Shabbos, Echad. And then what?
You don't say Shema on a weekday.
Okay, right. I'm a little confused. Okay, let's go to the weekday then. And then what do you say? You say Gadol LaHashem Iti Unirayim LaShmo Yachtav. When you say Gadol LaHashem Iti, now then what does the tzibur do? Is the tzibur supposed to respond and say Gadol LaHashem Iti Unirayim LaShmo Yachtav? So let me ask you, what did you do today? Today when the Shliach Tzibur said, did you repeat the words? Did you repeat the words Gadlu? The Shliach Tzibur said Gadol LaHashem Iti Unirayim LaShmo Yachtav.
I always do, but the tzibur just says Chasam.
Oh. So 95% of the population, maybe even more, they repeat the words. When the Shliach, Gal Hashem Iti, everyone repeats, Gal Hashem Iti, Nerema Shem Yachtov, L'cho Hashem, Agdulu, V'agvu, V'atferes, V'anisa, V'hod, V'chulu, V'chulu, right? There's no Mekar for that. There's no Mekar. The only one that's supposed to say Galu is the Shliach Tzibur. And the people really, Me'ikir Adin, should be silent. I'm telling you, do this, no, not necessarily. I'm just telling you what is correct.
And they answer, L'cho Hashem.
You don't have to say God. That's only was meant for the Shliach Tzibur, not for the Tzibur to say those words.
It was like a part of the communal thing, you know.
Whatever it is. Next thing. Now, there's another thing people don't know this halacha. When the Shliach Tzibur says God LaHashem Iti, this is a very important thing. He's supposed to lift up the Sefer Torah.
Yes.
And he brings here something shocking. He says that if a person doesn't lift up the Sefer Torah, the Chayisif v'Hamish Nebuah Sham B'Sifkan Yud Gimel Magen Avram B'Shem Ha. Mesechta Seferim, the Be'ez Amiras Gadla Yesh Lagbi. It says the Mesechta Sefer. You have to lift up the Sefer Torah. Ad Kidei Shemevi Hasif Sefer Piskei Teshuvis. Everyone knows that. That's the modern Sefer Piskei Teshuvis. B'Shem Echad Meharishanim. Ha'orchehu Ha'orchei Schayim LeHaRoa Milonil. I don't know who this is. Orcha Schayim LeHaRoa Milonil. He was a Rishon, and he writes there. The Chazon she'enoi magbia ha'sefer Torah b'shas amiras gadlu la'Hashem iti hu bichlal oror asher lo yakin es divrei ha'Torah hazos. Shocking. Shocking. You have to lift up the Sefer Torah. And he brings down next thing. Where do you face? This is Rabbi Reisman's, one of his famous imponderables. Yeah. The Reisman's imponderables is, why is it that when you say Shema Yisrael, you face the Tzibur, and when you say Gadlu, the meaning is to turn around and face around. Aaron. So Reisman, first of all, is there a Makar? I think Reisman says there's no Makar for this. So he says there is a Makar, it's in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says you should, Reisman means, where did the Aruch HaShulchan get it from? That's what Reisman means. Where did the Aruch HaShulchan get this, that you're supposed to face the Aaron when you say Gadlu HaShem L'chor, which is just the opposite? When you're saying Shema Yisrael, you're davening to Hashem. When you're saying Gadlu LaHashem Iti, together with me, you are addressing the audience. So it should be, Rabbi Reisman doesn't have an answer, Tzarchian, it should be Pumfaker. Shema Yisrael, you should face forward, and Gadlu, you should face the Tzibur. Yet the Minigo Olam is just the opposite. Shema Yisrael, you face forward, and Gadlu, you face the Aron HaKodesh. So there is no answer. I've told my father was very fascinated with this, I remember, and I told my father an answer. I don't think he liked it. I told him, and he also didn't like it. I told it to someone 2 days ago, and he also didn't like it. Very chazaka. But I'll tell you, maybe someone likes it. Maybe you like it. Better luck here. When you say, what does it mean, E.T.? Gadlu LaHashem, together with me. Who are you talking to? Pashtus is talking to the Tzibor. Make Hashem great together with me. So I wanted to say, you're not talking to me, you're talking to the other Sifrei Torah. When you take out a Sefer Torah of the Heichel, you're really insulting all the other Sefer Torah. Why was this Sefer Torah so lucky? What was his mazel that this Sefer Torah got to be taken out and I'm still stuck inside? So when you say Gadol LaHashem E.T., you're being mefayes the other Sefer Torah. You're talking to the Sefer Torah. It's not just this. All of you, let's make Hashem E.T. together with me. With E.T. means the Sefer Torah itself. I can see from your expression that you also don't like this idea. Okay, last thing. We'll stop.
There's another thing.
It's not Gadol Hashem E.T. You put the kam after unuraimimah shemo kama yachta. Okay, it's an important point. Next, last idea. This you're not going to like. This is very shocking to you. When you are given the Sefer Torah to hold, let me ask you, how do you hold the Sefer Torah? Do you hold it with the pareches, with the mantle facing you? Or do you hold it with the mantle? We never spoke about this. I don't remember ever speaking about this. Or do you face it with the mantle facing outwards? And what is the minhag olam?
Outwards.
Is that correct? Just because everyone does, is that correct?
Probably
not necessarily. So you bright sides over the following. Let me tell you those. Sefer Dinim Menan Hagos Muva Shemaran Hachazonish. The Chazon Ish says it should be towards you.
Right.
Chaim Kanievsky, that's what he does. When they give him a Sefer Torah, he holds it with the Pareichas, the Ma'an thing, because that's where it's open to. That's the part that it's open. It should be facing you. You don't go put it towards everyone. You have to
you
take
really
the Sefer Torah.
Because the guy who paid for the mountain wants you to see
what maybe that's the reason, right? That's what Chaim Kanievsky. Avol Lebaisa Haminuk Ha'olam Hu Lachzik Es Sefer Torah Imatzara Niftach Lahamil Hamrukum Klapi Ha'om Uchadur Isi Shekach Nohagu. I told you, he has the NSA file on all the Gedolei Yisrael. Kenoagu Maronon Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach V'Hagoyin Rav Yosef Shlomo Yosef Eliashiv V'Shekach Nohagim Eitzel Maran Hagoyin Rav Meir Salavetchik was already nifter. V'Hevi that Rav Steinman also says you should do it like this, and he actually brings a Rai, he has a Gemara. When they carry the animals to the parts of the animal, the tummy, to the Mizbeach, so it says in the Gemara they carried it in a way where the nicer part, the cut of the animal, of the leg, was towards the person, and the beautiful part of the animal was facing outwards. So too, the beautiful part of the Sefer Torah is facing outwards, so therefore, just like when you bring a korban, the Kohanim would march from the Beis HaShchita to the Mizbeach, the Chatach, the nicer part was outside, so too, when you carry the Sefer Torah, the nicer part should be outside. Steinman says, you should carry it outside. I will include this last thing. He brings over here a story. He writes over here in the footnote, the Mechaber, Rabbi Hollander, Re'isi Temuna. I came across Gedolim pictures. Shulchanukah Sabayis B'Lakewood B'Shnas Tov Shin Chof Hei, 1965. In 1965, there was a Chanukah Sabayis in Lakewood. The Avol Pi Sherev Hanoshim B'Neim Gedolei Yisrael Koyin Maran, the Panovich Rav was there, and they were all given the Sefer Torah to hold. All of the Gedolei Yisrael are holding the Sefer Torah chutz, like we do, facing outwards. Has Sefer Torah imatzar hanifta klape ham. Mikol Mokom. There were two Rashi Yeshivas in this picture. Maronon Hagoin Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Hagoin Rav Schneier Kotler, okay, Machzikim has Sefer Torah imatzar havniftach klapehem, towards them. Kedas Maran HaChazanish, like the Chazanish says, that's how it should be held. But he goes on to say, v'yesh levarer im zeh hayadach. Was that just like an accident? Just for the moment when the photographer took the picture?
That's how
it was given. Maybe you have Moshe held it. You have to see the picture. You have to reveal. If it was a video, maybe you have more clarity to know, to see. If it was a hakpada, it was just the moment when they took the picture, that's where how it turned out. Exactly, right. Yeah, he writes that. The picture doesn't mean anything. He's saying the picture is not conclusive. It's interesting. It's interesting that you have a picture, all the gedolim show, the holding Sefer Torah, all klavi chutz, and two of them are different. Does it mean anything? Probably not. But it's interesting in the event. Okay, we'll stop here.